That ended before I could finish my decaf coffee. You know, I've done this show so many times. I've played the sound effect for the show so many times. You would think I'm almost used to knowing when it's going to end, but no, that's not the case. Hello. I am officially brace-free since Monday. It feels good. It feels good to be brace-free and be walking again. Obviously not normally. That's going to take time, but it feels good not to be able to use crutches. And I thought, you know, I was feeling okay on Monday, and I also went to go get my second vaccine on Monday, and the last thing I wanted was to go and stand in the queue with crutches. So I thought, I'll take my brace off, you know, and give my foot a break and start walking a little bit, because, you know, I need to, because I don't want to get into this bad habit of becoming lazy, because that's just not in my nature to be like that. So since Monday, I've been brace free. You know, you don't realize how important your, you know, certain parts of your body are until you've broken them. Or in my case, you've had surgery done to them. You know, you don't realize how important your hands are, or your arms, or your feet. You don't realize that until, you know, things like this happen to you. But I'm on the mends, and every day I'm getting more and more confidence. It's like I'm learning to walk again. I'm like a caveman learning to walk. You know, I've evolved from the ape. Now I'm evolving into the walking part of it. I've had apart from learning how to walk again this week, I've had quite an interesting week. I've managed to offend quite a few people, not by choice. I know you all think, yeah, I do it on purpose. Not by choice. I've also managed to befriend two people. I say befriend. They more befriended me, but what a week. I was here actually yesterday, if you're listening to the podcast today, which is Friday, but if you're not, you're probably listening to this next week, which is probably then irrelevant. But I was here the day before the show was recording. I ordered a new microphone for the studio. There's nothing wrong with the one I'm using. I mean, it's a very good professional microphone that I'm using. But you know, you know, as things improve and things get better, you want to start upgrading your material. And I ordered this microphone because I've had my eye on this microphone for a while, and I was here yesterday installing it, and I tried everything. I tried every single setting. And if you're wondering to know what sound desk we use here at Amsterdam Lab, it's called a Rodecaster, and it's a very interesting. I'm not going to bore you guys to death with this. But it's a very interesting sound desk that we have, because it's very clever. Because with the kind of mic that you have, if you go into settings, you know, if you have a condenser microphone, or if you have a speech microphone, or if you have a broadcast microphone, or whatever, it has certain settings for that. And you can choose these settings based on what microphone you have. And you can also play around with the treble and all of that. So you can, you know, that's pretty cool. I tried every single setting that the desk could offer me, and it didn't sound right. And the one irritating thing about this microphone was that I could hear like a hissing sound, but not like all the time, only when I was talking. So every time I was talking, I would hear shh. But it was only when I was talking. When I went silent, I didn't hear anything. And, you know, obviously, when you're wearing headphones, like I do, and you get feedback in your ears, it's very irritating. It's one of the things when you work on radio, or if you are a sound engineer, you'll know what I'm talking about, because it's very irritating when you get any kind of feedback. It doesn't matter if it's a hissing sound. If you have any kind of feedback in your headphones, it's very annoying. You know, in the old, they don't do it now because nobody phones radio stations. Thank goodness for that. But in the old days when people used to phone radio stations, you know, for the DJ to play their song, or they would phone radio stations for competitions or whatever, the DJ would often tell the listener, because, you know, the listener wants to hear what they sound like on the radio. So they would usually stand next to the radio and try listen to themselves whilst talking to the DJ. And the DJ would always say, look, can you turn your radio off, because I'm getting feedback in my headphones. You know, so it's very, although you don't hear it, when you have headphones on, it's very annoying. So anyway, I returned it to the store that I got it from, and I reverted back to the original mic that we have here in the studio, and it's actually pretty good compared to the one that I ordered. Honestly, this microphone, I've had no problems with it. I sound pretty clear, which is what you want. And I'm happy with this microphone. I'm happy with this quality that we have here at Amsterdam Lab. So I've had quite a busy week. Now, I mentioned that I managed to offend some people. Now, when I say I managed to offend them, basically what happened was, you know, because I'm out of work because of my foot, I've been watching a lot of Netflix. I've been catching up on a lot of things that I just don't get time to do, like Netflix and, you know, some certain things that I am subscribed to on YouTube, because, you know, that's where I get most of my content from. Anyway, there was a article on Sky News, and basically, you know the UK, they are paranoid about immigration, which is very interesting, because, you know, they put these banners up all over their embassies around the world. Come to Britain. Britain wants you. We want people. We accept people from all around the world. Come to Britain for a better life. You know that very old politicking. What do they call it? Politicking. It's very old politicking. But they, you know, what they don't tell you is they actually hate immigrants. They just want you to do the work so they can, you know, sit on their asses all day. Anyway, it was yesterday, I think. Yeah, yesterday. Or the day before yesterday. Anyway, it's irrelevant. But I was on YouTube and I got a notification from Sky News. And the notification was, record number of people in search of a new life make a dangerous crossing from France to the UK. They describe it like someone has just won the lottery. So I clicked on this. I already know what to expect, but I clicked on this, and basically I'll play a little bit of what it is in case you are totally oblivious to what I'm talking about. I'll play some sound just so you can hear just how ridiculous the UK is when they talk about stuff like this.
New figures released by the Home Office show that a record number of migrants crossed the English Channel yesterday.
Wow.
Video from today shows dozens, including children on several dinghies without life jackets.
Now, a dinghy, if you're wondering, a dinghy is basically, the British call it a dinghy. It's a basically it's just a boat of some sort that's been made up very quickly. It's there's no thought being put into it. It's been, think about like Tom Hanks and Castaway. It's something like that. It's something that you don't put much thought into. You just make it so you can, you know, go into the water. So that's what a dinghy is.
Well, Sky's Mark White is with us. Mm-hmm. And the numbers just keep going up, don't they, Mark?
Yes, I know. It's outrageous. Can you believe all these people? They've actually listened to the UK. They've listened to their cry that the UK wants people. Oh no.
Yes, they do. I mean, a record close to 500 migrants crossing the channel yesterday is of great concern. I mean, there are divisions, of course, on this issue. There are those who say that people should not be crossing illegally like this into the UK.
The point is that these people have come from war-torn countries. They've risked their life from places like horrible places like Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. They've risked their life. They've paid smugglers. And they come into the UK because they've seen and they've heard that the UK is this great place. That's why they're coming to the UK. They're not doing this because, England has a good education. They don't. England has a terrible education. They come into the UK because they hear all of these stories that, oh, this place is great. A prosperous country.
It needs to be stopped. Others who say these people are desperate and they
need not.
Help. And if they claim asylum, that asylum should be granted. But I think everyone can agree that images like this are very concerning indeed. A big inflatable there, but
So basically, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you get the picture. They're making a big deal for people who are coming to the UK. I get the argument. Yes, it's not right what they're doing, how they're coming to the UK. The point I'm making is that you're making such a big fuss and you're bitching about these people who actually want to go to the UK and make a better life for themselves and their families. I get what they're doing is not the correct way, but how else are they going to go there? Because, you know, if they did it the way everyone else does, by applying for a visa, they would never get approved. Their visa would never get approved because they have insufficient funds. Because, you know, by the way, when you apply to work in the UK or live in the UK, the UK loves knowing how much money you have. They are obsessed with that. Their visa would be denied like that. So the conventional way of going to the UK is just, you can't, it's non-negotiable for them. So that's why they do this. Yes, I get what they're doing is bad, but the way you're acting. So I saw this and I already knew what the comments were going to be. But I thought, let me amuse myself. And I saw some of the comments, and Sky News does a pretty good job at, you know, some of their stories, they take commenting off for obvious reasons. And some stories they just allow it to amuse themselves. And some of the comments, you know, were typical right-wing racist comments. Oh, it's a pity that boat didn't drown. It's a pity that boat didn't sink. They all should have drowned. Why is the border agency helping them? They should have just stood there and watched them drown. So I commented and I said, It's so good that it's so good to know that so many racists live in the UK. So I already, you know, fired these racists up. And I said, you know, I always thought that I had this burden against me, which I do, I still do, of being a white person, from a white male, not just any white person, but a white male from South Africa. But if anything, I'm actually kind of lucky that and proud of myself that I took the opposite direction and I decided to respect people no matter what, where, how they sound like. And I'm actually quite happy that I grew up under the Mandela administration, because it made me open my eyes and made me realize that there's more to life than being an asshole and being racist. So, you know, of course, these racists, because, you know, they live on the internet. Where else do they live? Of course, I had many comments. One guy thought he was clever by saying, oh, yeah, the reason why we like this is because we don't want any riots and looting going on in a third world country like South Africa. So I said, oh, well, that's rich coming from you, because the latest I've heard is that there are shortages of food on the shelves. And the reason there's shortages of food on the shelf is because there's no immigrants driving your trucks in the UK, because they've all gone back to Europe. Because British people aren't going to drive trucks. British people driving trucks, that's not a very British thing to do. So of course, and it's so bad, Tesco's is offering people £1,000. I'm not joking, you can look this up. They're offering people £1,000 before they've even given them the job. That's how desperate they are for people to drive their trucks. That's how desperate the situation is. And you tell me that the reason you don't want these migrants making this dangerous crossing is because you don't want looting and rioting in a third world country like South Africa. Please do me a favor. I think South Africa is doing, you know, South Africa has their own problems, but not as big as what's going on in the UK. Anyway, so I managed to offend a lot of racists, and there were some other comments that were thrown at me, but that was one of the comments, and I just thought, you know what? Yeah. Some of the comments I didn't even bother replying back to, because they were just ridiculous. So that's what I did the other day. What else? I think I may have mentioned I lost two people as friends. They weren't really my friends. You see, the thing with me is I have acquaintees, and then I have friends. You know, and acquaintees are people who aren't your friends. They just, you know, if you want to go for a drink, you ask them, you message them and say, hey, do you want to go for a drink? You know, they're just kind of there. They're not your friends. So I have, you know, I have acquaintees, and then I have friends. And for you to be my friend, I need to do a whole CIA background kind of check on you, because yeah, I don't just friend people. There's a whole procedure in place. So anyway, it's a very long, boring story. But I've been, the past few days, I've been, you know, hanging around with these people, and you know, sometimes you just want a bit of time to yourself. And yeah, if someone doesn't reply back to your messages, or if they don't answer your phone calls, that's kind of an indication they want to be left alone. So, of course, you know, in today's society, if you don't reply back to a message or a phone call, you're just an asshole, and fuck you, Wade. So, you know what, I'm not even angry, I'm more relieved than anything, because the only reason I was hanging out with you is because I had nothing else to do. You're not really the kind of people I want to hang out with anyway. The kind of people who drink every night. I don't want to drink every night. I enjoy a glass of wine now and then, or a beer now and then, but not every night. So, yeah. Woosa! All right. Enough about me blabbering on about what I did this week. There's much more interesting, important things to talk about. Now, Jennifer Aniston admits she has also cut people out of her life over anti-vax views. Now, she said shedding people from her weekly routine is unfortunate, but she says she feels a moral in doing it and a professional obligation to inform these people about protecting each other from COVID-19. She says there's still a large group of people who are anti-vaxxers or who just don't listen to the facts. It's a real shame. Yes, they're all called Trump supporters. So you don't worry about them, Jennifer Aniston. No one has time for Trump supporters. You know, there's a small minority who think the world is targeting them and who thinks the world is just against them. The world isn't. You're just complete, utter assholes. That's all. No one has time for them. Don't worry, Jennifer Aniston. Majority of the world is smart, is clever, want to get vaccinated, have been vaccinated. So good on you, Jennifer Aniston. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but a lot of opinions don't feel based on anything except fear or propaganda, she went on to say. So well done, Jennifer Aniston. Now, you would imagine having the world's biggest cock would be nothing but a godsend. If you're a guy, you would think, you know, having the biggest cock in the world is kind of a good thing. But it turns out things are a little bit more complicated. Who would have thought? Now, this guy, Jonah Falcon. Now, he's got the biggest cock on the planet. Now, apparently, there's no official Guinness World Record for the biggest penis. There should be, but unfortunately, there isn't. But apparently, his cock is 13.5 inches when erect, and well, he's opened out about his oversized penis. And he says that he doesn't have any insecurity and says he's more open-minded because he's not trying to prove himself all the time. I mean, why would you want to prove yourself if you've got a big cock? But there's also downsides to having the world's biggest cock. He says that he's sick and tired of having people wanting him to measure it in front of them. He says that he's done it he's done it 10,000 times. He really just wants people to stop it. He also did admit, listen to this, he also did admit to giving himself blowjobs from the age of 10 to 18. Years old, but due to upper back pain and doing it all the time, that's no longer an option for him. So, yeah, you know, there's plus sides and downsides to this. Look, I think this is just a guy thing. I don't know if I would do it, but this is just a guy thing. It's like, It's like when you give a guy a pen or a permanent marker, what is the first thing they do? They draw a penis with balls. That is the it's just a thing. It's just what's programmed into a guy's mind. I don't know why, but for some reason, we always have penises in our minds. But I'm pretty sure that if the average guy had a let's say, penis the size of Jonah Falcon, I am pretty sure that the first thing we would do is give ourselves a blowjob. I'm pretty sure that's the first thing a guy would do. For some reason, most men are obsessed with their penis. It's just a guy thing. I don't know why, but that's the first thing I'm pretty sure, and I'll put money on the table. If every guy in the world had an average size penis, we would all, the first thing we would do is wanna try give ourselves a blowjob. It's just a guy thing. It's the same as when you give a guy a pen or a permanent marker, or if your car is dirty or if it's been snowing, what is the first thing a guy does? They draw a penis with balls. It's just a guy thing to do. I don't know why, but it's just what they do. So there you go, girls. You can follow him. His name is Jonah Falcon. He's on Instagram. I don't think he posts pictures of his penis. I don't think Instagram would allow that, but I'm sure there's some discrepancies of his penis on Instagram. So go follow him. Jonah Falcon. He says he gets messages all the time from women wanting to try out his penis. So who knows? Maybe you'll be the lucky one to try out his penis. Now, have you ever wondered how your pussy cat is feeling? Well, there's an app for this now, and it's called Tably. Now, have a listen to this. I'll get some audio to this. I tell you, what is with people and being obsessed with cats? I don't know. What is the obsession with cats? I just don't know.
Is your feline friend looking a bit grumpy? Notoriously inscrutable, cats aren't the best at letting their owners know when something is wrong. But a new app powered by artificial intelligence claims it can decode their subtle facial cues to deliver a speedy assessment of their well-being.
There we go. Honestly, I know some people who all they do is they follow on, all they do on Instagram is follow accounts of people who post pictures of cats. I don't know where the obsession comes from, but there is a serious obsession with these animals. But there's now an app for this. It's called Tably.
Well, our app is Tably, and what it does is it helps.
What does it do?
Human cat owners know if their cat is in pain or not.
Oh.
So it uses facial recognition technology. All you need to do is take a picture with your camera, and then it can give you a result.
Wow. What is the obsession? I don't know. We don't have apps for dogs. I mean, it would be good to know how your dog is feeling. I remember a while ago, there was a video on how to get to know your dog. And one of the things you can tell how your dog is feeling is by the way the tail wags. Something to do is, I can't remember correctly, but something to do with, if your dog's tail wags to the left, it means it's upset. If it wags to the right, it means it's being playful, and it encourages you to pat it and play with it and all of that. So there you go. If you really are interested to know how your pussycat is doing, it's called Tably, and you can download it. So there you go. Don't fuck with cats is what I have to say to this. All right, let's get into some news. I'm sure you guys have probably killed yourself now that you've just heard about this. So I'm going to try and enlighten you with some news stories, because there's quite a lot of news that's happened around the world. Bill Gates has managed to finalize his divorce settlement. So yeah, there's quite a lot that's been happening in the world of the news. Where did I put my news story now? Where did I put my news? See, this is what happens when you get brought into cat stories. This happens. All right. Now, a policeman who kneeled on a black man's neck during a arrest will not face disciplinary proceedings. Now, footage showed Marcus Curtin asking the police officer to get off his neck during his arrest in July 2020, 2 months after the death of George Floyd. The police watchdog said the officer should reflect and learn from the incident to prevent any issues identified from recurring. So in other words, it's okay to do that. That's basically what the police watchdog has just said. It's okay to kneel on another, not just a black person's neck, but another person's neck. It's okay to do that. Now, the South African government says it has little choice but to raise national debt. Oh boy. Which is forecast to rise to about 89% by 2026. The government aims to boost investment in everything from telecommunications to renewable energy, whilst restoring the ailing finances of state companies. Duncan Petrice, head of economic policy at the National Treasury, says the government's approach has really been, how do we get growth back, and how does one strike the right balance between a very effective social support, as well as this very important question to prioritize support for job creation? Well, I can tell you that all costs money. That's what it all boils down to. It all boils down to money, which is what the country doesn't have at the moment. South Africa definitely needs to find its. South Africa definitely finds itself facing some sobering realities. I mean, Tito Mboweni, the former finance minister, he's now stepped down, and he was the only guy that knew what he was doing, dare I say, and he's now been replaced by some guy who. It's just not looking good. Now, sticking with South Africa, and the most evil of evil corrupt politicians, David Mabuza, who's the deputy president, well, he's confirmed that he's still in Russia, and that he will only return to South Africa once his medical team clears his health. According to news reports, Mabuza is scheduled to be back in the country on Wednesday. Next week. Apparently, he went to Russia for supposedly medical treatment after he took leave of absence in June. Now, in a statement, the presidency said Mabuza asked if he could take just a few days' leave for medical treatment. A few people within the official opposition party have said he looked perfectly healthy before he departed to Russia. So the plot definitely thickens as to why he's actually in Russia, especially when you've been in Russia for that long for medical treatment. I don't think anything that's wrong with you, you'll be that long in absence. But anyway, the plot thickens. Now, in an interview with CNN, Bill Gates acknowledged that his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein was a huge mistake. And he told the host Anderson Cooper that his divorce, which became final this week, was definitely a very sad milestone. A judge for the county superior court in Washington State signed the dissolution decree on Monday, ending the 27-year marriage between the two, whilst leaving details on how the couple divided one of the longest fortunes in history, shrouded in mystery. That's going to be a lot of money Melinda Gates gets. And you know what? Good for her. She's going to be very wealthy. She's probably going to marry a very young man. And she's probably going to fund some organization. She's going to be well off. So, there's one very happy woman for you. Police in San Francisco say they've arrested a woman. Listen to this. They've arrested a woman waving an AK-47 out of a car window. The car has been traced and seized as the investigation continues. Now, due to the fact that this is an ongoing investigation, police cannot comment any further. They also can't comment on whether any arrests were made or whether the woman fired any shots. Now, according to the police department's mid-year reports, in San Francisco, firearm-related violence has increased 84% this year compared to data from last year, with more fatal shootings occurring. Should we all be surprised? Should we all be shocked? I know it's pretty scary, this, but should we all be shocked? I don't know. I'm stuck between. I'm in the middle with this because we should be shocked, but it's America. And lastly, after a embarrassing start to the vaccine rollout, EU countries are now surging ahead with vaccinating their population as the UK's efforts start to splutter. Two more EU countries have overtaken the EU in the last week in terms of proportion of the population who is fully vaccinated. Belgium double vaccinated 58.9% of its population, while Spain has double vaccinated 58.31% as of August, while the UK figure is 56%, according to Our World data. Malta, which overtook the UK in January, has now double vaccinated a massive 87% of its population. Sorry, UK, but Europe just does things everything better. So, and that was the news. Now, I just want to before I finish the show, there's a song that has actually been I didn't know this until a few days ago. There's a song that's actually been banned from being played on hospital radio. Now, the song that's been banned on hospital radio is by a artist called Cutting Crew. Now, if you don't know the song, let me play it. I'll play a little bit of it. I'm not going to play the whole song because we get in trouble for playing music on the show. But you'll know the song as soon as I play it. It's called "I Just Died in Your Arms." Now, as hilarious as it is, the song to be banned on hospital radio. I don't think the guy in question... thought that this was the case. What a tragedy. Now, obviously, you know, basically the reason why, if you don't know the background to the song, the reason why he wrote the song was because he was madly in love with this girl. And you know, when a guy is madly in love, they will say things that they don't usually say to their girlfriend. Like for this case, I just died in your arms last night watching Netflix, you know. Or in other cases, if we really love you, you know, when love really gets to our brains, we start saying things that we don't usually say, like, I'll catch a grenade for you, honey. I will catch a grenade for you. Now, when you start saying stuff like this, then you know there's no going back. Because you know you have to, you do know that you do have to fall. You have to continue with this. You can't just say you'll catch a grenade for your girlfriend and then someone actually does throw a grenade and you're like, oh fuck, sorry, I did say that I was going to catch a grenade, but I was just saying that. You have to do this. Or I'll jump in front of a train for you and take a bullet straight through my brain for you. You know, these are things that if you say this to a girl, you have to do it. You can't just you can't just say it and not do it. You have to stick to your word. And you know, guys do this when they when guys say stuff like this, you know. You know, then you know the guy really loves you. Because guys, men don't say stuff like this without, you know, meaning it. So basically, the reason why the song was banned was because, obviously, it was played a lot on hospital radio. Now, hospital radio, I don't think many of these radio stations exist anymore. But basically, hospital radio is like community radio. It's basically the footstep to get you ready for actual radio. I don't think many of them exist anymore, but you know, there used to be hospital radios, and you know, you would take dedications from visiting, you know, people visiting their loved ones in hospital. And obviously, this song was played quite a lot, more times than it was supposed to, and probably a lot of people died when this song, or had died, or had just died when this song had been played. And because of this, it's actually been banned, or it was banned on hospital radio. It was outlawed. You weren't allowed to play this song. So I find it as sad as it is, because obviously when you listen to the lyrics, I just died in your arms tonight. Imagine that being played in the hall room whilst you're saying goodbye to a lover. Imagine now with Corona. I mean, I don't think you'd be able to visit your loved one because of Corona. But just, you know, use your imagination. It's pretty heartbreaking. It's pretty, you know, soul-destroying that. So I think, you know, the hospital organization, or if there is such a thing, said, look, you know, this song can't be played anymore because just of the title, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. But I'll tell you, you know what song I'm singing like an absolute idiot too, since we're on this topic. You know that song by Pink? what is it called? What's that song called? Hang on, let me play it. Then you can, then you'll know what song I'm talking about. This song. I'm not gonna play all of it, but this song.
I've been dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Friendly faces.
Basically, the reason I'm singing this song like a complete arsehole is because it goes like this. And every time I hear this song, I go, ah, 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 because I'm an arsehole. I'm a complete ignoramus. But that's just how I remember songs. That's just how my brain processes things. That's how I remember things. And it's the same as I remember when Dolores, Orion, you know, the lead singer from the Cranberries, when I heard she had died, I started singing like a total idiot, because that's how I just remember certain songs. I remember singing some of her songs, because that's just how I remember certain things. Zahamba, Zahamba, that's just how I remember certain things. That's how my brain processes things and how I remember things. I don't do it on purpose. I don't do it to offend people, but that's just how I remember music. So there you go. Have yourselves a good weekend. We'll be back. Well, I say we. I'll be back next week. Natasha's still on holiday. So I'll be back next week. Quite a few things are lined up in the next coming weeks. Some guests coming on the show. Because we like to keep things fresh. So we're going to be chatting to some new exciting people. They've been coming on the show, telling us about their stories. So lots of interesting things happening on the show in the next coming weeks. Have yourselves a good weekend, and I'll be back next week.